Palm trees, PCs, and dragons. What do they have in common? Next on Tech Stack. Welcome to Hawaii. I'm joined by my colleagues here on Tech Stack, Francis Sadeko from Tyrius Research, Dave Altavilla from Hot Tech, and we're here to talk about the Snapdragon Summit, an annual event held here in Maui that introduces some of the latest technology from Qualcomm, both for different types of products every year. Yeah. This is their 10th year, and they really focused on a couple of key areas, which were smartphones and PCs. So, gentlemen, I got to ask you, first impressions, Dave?
First impressions. Well, I think for me, there were those two big announcements in the two platforms, mobile and PC. My first impressions were the performance claims were bold, and I also liked the detailed demo of use cases for AI and
on device
and the technologies that will harness that performance. So it's not just about these big performance claims on both sides, PC and mobile, but also what are you going to do with that performance. So those are my big takeaways, high level, but we'll dive into a lot more.
Exactly. What you got?
So yeah, obviously the two main announcements, but I think the other impressions that I had, and I agree with Dave, they did a really good job of taking, working what they've been doing with the ISV engagements that they've been doing and really highlighting what kinds of apps are already available now, but mm-hmm. will get even better with the new next generation, but also the actual use cases and experiences. So obviously for tech guys like us, we can double click and look into the, you know, the architecture, the XPUs that are enabling all that stuff, which we'll dig into. But they did a really good job of connecting that to how these are going to be used and that they can be used now. So I think that's it. And then maybe the only other one I'll say as a maybe foreshadowing is there were a couple of takeaways that I had, which we can delve into, that I don't think, I think it might get lost in noise. There were a couple that stood out at me, which we can delve into that I think might be overshadowed. Other things might overshadow it, but will actually have some really big implications.
Well, I hate to, you know, really pound AI, because let's face it, we can't go to a conference or to a meeting or to anything without AI today. But I will agree with you. I mean, they actually showed AI running on devices, and it's starting to make sense. They started with companies like Page AI that actually kind of creates your own personal agent from your information, and also Anywhere LLM, which is actually doing kind of diversified inference processing across multiple platforms. And I think that, along with everything that Google's doing with the Android ecosystem, you know, really enabling that true cross-platform pollination, is going to be incredible. You know, I look forward to the day when I actually have an agent that knows who I am. It's a personal AI agent that can go anywhere I go.
Yeah, no, agentic AI was all over the place here. But what was really cool about it was, I think it was Durga that said it a couple years ago. He was the first one to start saying AI is a new UI. And that really was a foreshadowing of agentic AI. And in this summit, they really started to show how you could start using these devices with agentic AI to really get some things done.
Yeah, that was one of my key takeaways. And I think one of the questions we had was how is this AI going to build up knowledge of you and then transfer across devices? How are we going to get that information between your phone, your PC, wherever you happen to go, without sending it up to the cloud or what have you? And I think what we learned in some of the afternoon sessions today was that some of these apps are going to build a knowledge graph on you, and then it's encrypted, and then it does transfer to all of your devices without having to go to the cloud. It syncs. It certainly does, but it's a knowledge graph on you, not built in there, not residing in the cloud, but on device.
And a knowledge graph that's constantly being updated.
Yeah. Yeah, with all your preferences.
I think that's going to be where the rubber meets the road, yeah. right? Because there's always this dichotomy between convenience and privacy, right? And we're not just talking about when you upgrade your phone a year or two from now. It's when in just your everyday life, you go from your tablet in your house to your phone as you're walking to your car and then you get into your car. Those are all compute platforms that ideally would have this kind of personalized agentic capability follow you through that whole thing.
Sure.
How do you do that between devices and still maintain your privacy and things like that? And I think that's going to be a really interesting development on how they go ahead and implement that.
Well, let's dig in really quickly into the two key areas that they made announcements. First one is handsets.
Yep.
The Snapdragon Elite 8 Gen 5. So they went back to the whole Gen thing.
Yep.
Adding on to the Elite thing. Thoughts, considerations, what do you think?
So thoroughly impressed with the performance claims that they're making. And some of the, actually, I ran all the benchmark numbers too. We rolled up our sleeves. And, to see the performance gains in CPU and GPU specifically, NPU as well. But for me, competing with, dare I say, Apple.
Yes.
From a multi-core standpoint, they're blowing them out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
Single core, they're within, I think there's maybe a little less than 10% advantage in Apple for single thread throughput.
Yeah.
But that was impressive.
And that was just on Geekbench.
That was, yeah, right. That's one, you have to look at the benchmarks exactly. And the benchmarks that really hopefully emulate, real world use cases, real world work.
And those will be available on Hot Tech.
Yeah, absolutely. So, at any rate, yeah. So for me, those performance gains were significant. And then you look at what they're doing with GPU as well. We just got out of a meeting with Amandeep and GPU architecture guy for Qualcomm and really learned about how they're improving GPU performance with, what's the memory acronym?
With the HPM.
High performance memory. Yeah. Thank you for that refresher off my memory.
that clearly is a little bit low performance.
Low performance in the afternoon, absolutely. But that's significant. So, you know, we learned about how that localized cache, basically a shared, for all intents and purposes, a shared L3.
Yes.
For the slices, for the GPU slices, that allows them a significant performance lift, but also a power reduction because they don't have to go off chip to memory. So, just impressed with the architecture advances and the performance claims and the deep dives we got. Francis?
Well, let's not also forget, they made enhancements throughout every part of the chip, but
those stood out for me.
The NPU is amazing. I mean, as we know, that tensor, scalar, vector in there. But what was really impressive was as they were looking at this agentic AI world that we're going to be going into, they made a lot of really good changes inside the NPU to enable what you need to be able to do when you're doing agentic AI. So everything from longer prompts and being able to process those in the vector, but also even as you go and cascade models, which you absolutely need to be able to do in agentic AI, they made changes in the next generation Hexagon NPU. So it's really, like we said earlier, they took a look at what they're trying to accomplish from a use case standpoint, and then went all the way down to the architecture and the XPU, the memory, like you guys mentioned. All of that stuff was built and designed to make sure that that's a really good experience.
I'm really interested in seeing what comes with the next generation, because then we're talking about RibbonFET.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting. They didn't want to talk about it, which I understand, but we'll see what comes. And well, the next one. Francis, start off with what do we have for the PC? Because that was kind of the biggest thing.
So the key thing was there was the X2 Elite, which is the next generation. But then Kadar doubled down on it and went with the X2 Elite
Extreme
Edition, which it was good to see. They literally went since, what was it, 15 months ago from entering the market into now starting to drive the market with the things that they're able to do. So that was really impressive. And one of the things that I alluded to earlier that might go under the radar, but is actually going to be a really impactful part of that, is the Snapdragon Guardian that they announced.
Yes.
So Snapdragon Guardian has to do with in-band and out-of-band management for IT. So clearly that has
over cellular.
That's the out-of-band.
Right.
So clearly that's going to have a lot of benefits for enterprise in that segment, right?
Yeah.
But even for consumers, that has a lot of great implications. But I think what people aren't seeing is it's a way for Qualcomm to be able to get a cellular device into pretty much every single PC out there. And one of the things that happens when that occurs is a colleague of mine at IHS coined the term lateral innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And what lateral innovation is okay, look, if we had use cases that we were thinking of and we needed to add BOM to it just to do that use case, it might not happen, right?
Right.
Because it's such a margin, you know, thin device. But if it's already in there, why not use it and laterally innovate? And that's what, you know, that happened with GPS, right? It was already in there for timing for CDMA. So let's come up with other uses for it. That's how we got Uber. That's how we get all of these other great apps. But now you've got potentially cellular because of this Snapdragon Guardian getting put in there. Whether it's 5G, 3G, or 4G, or whatever it is, people are going to start being able to innovate on that because it's already there. And I think it's going to open up a whole host of new things that people weren't really even thinking about. And I think that's the real impact.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, Francis. That's exactly it. Guardian for me was a big deal, and Qualcomm needed a hook into fleet management with IT in the enterprise. And that is a really good hook. Cellular connectivity for fleet management is a big deal for their platform. And I think it'll be a good entrance.
Well, I think the other part that really stood out to me was the ecosystem buildup.
Yep.
You know, they're working with Epic Games. They're working with all kinds of different developers. So they went from basic nothing to emulating a lot of the software that was on the platform 15 months ago to having thousands of different applications running on the software.
Yep.
So it is, it's impressive how they built out that. And they've significantly, like you said, Francis, improved the performance of the CPUs and adding more CPUs, being able to run all the way up to 5 gigahertz.
Yep.
On the mobile CPUs, also, you know, enhancing even the GPU, significantly scaling up the GPU.
Yeah.
So using those mobile architectures, and they even made this point that they're going to use these same mobile architectures, not just to scale from the smartphone to the PC, but for automotive, for IoT, for data center, et cetera.
Same architecture.
Exactly.
So, hey, I think we probably have to wrap at this point, gentlemen.
Yeah, want to thank everyone for joining us. Please like and subscribe. And if you have any questions or there's a topic you want us to cover, please send it our way. And please look for more Tech Stack podcasts and webcasts, because we're going to keep doing this. As long as there's innovation in the industry, we're going to keep going.
Absolutely. And we'll see you next time on the Tech Stack.